Too much inflation is not good for your retirement plan. And recently, inflation has been very high. That hasn't felt good. And you may be wondering, where do the inflation numbers come from and how do they truly impact your own personal situation? So in this episode, we're going to dive into inflation and how it affects your retirement plan and what you can do about it.
It's easy to get lost on the way to retirement. Things like taxes, improper planning, and excessive market risk can all lead you astray from your goal of a successful and happy retirement. That's where Liz Whittaberry comes in. She's a holistic financial advisor and the founder of Best Path Advisors, and she can help guide you to a better financial path. This is Retire on Your Best Path with Liz Whittaberry.
Hey everybody, welcome into Retire on Your Best Path with Liz Whittaberry and myself here to talk about our good buddy inflation. I don't know if I'd call it our good buddy, but we're going to talk about it anyway, and Liz and I are going to have a good chat around this and hopefully share some good information with you guys. As always, if you need some help, got some questions, please reach out to her. Before you take any action with something you hear on our podcast or any other, see how it's going to affect your specific and unique situation. And of course, you can find Liz online at her website at bestpathadvisors.com. That's bestpathadvisors.com, where she is the founder and financial advisor. And Liz, how are you doing this week?
I am good. You know, we've got spring here and some things are starting to grow, which is always nice.
Yeah, you can probably hear it in my voice if you've listened to the podcast more than once. The pollen is a pollinating and my allergies are a little annoyed with it this morning, but we're going to get into our conversation anyway, and we're going to avoid that annoyance, which is, you know, if you have allergies, right? We all, people who have those know how annoying that can be, and talk about another annoyance, which is inflation. You know, so yeah. Let's just kind of start, like, you know, what's the basic definition of inflation?
Yeah, very simply, it's a general increase in prices. And that then is a decrease in your purchasing value of your money.
Right. And I think we all get it, right? We've all certainly known about it. We felt it, but it's been really in our face the last couple of years. You know, so obviously with the Fed changing things and so on and so forth. So let's talk about how it's measured, Liz. And like the CPI, people have heard that term. What is it? What does it include? You know, so on and so forth. So let's, I guess let's just start there. What is the CPI?
Yeah, it stands for Consumer Price Index for all urban consumers. So it's really CPI-U because they have other CPI numbers. And it's calculated by the Bureau of Labor Statistics and covers more than 200 categories. Those are arranged into 8 major groups. You've got your food and beverages, housing, apparel, transportation, medical care, recreation, education and communication, and then, you know, just everything else, other goods and services. And we hear a lot about the housing, the food, and the energy, obviously. Those are the most volatile and the things that we hear the most about. But one thing that I thought was very interesting, the BLS collects the information each month, 94,000 prices and 8,000 rents. And they do 2/3 of the price collection. They do that by personal visits to brick and mortar stores. And the other 1/3 is phone or online or other data sources, like getting information from the U.S. Department of Transportation. And then on the 8,000 rents, which is a very small number compared to how many houses we have and people renting apartments, they actually do personal visits or call people.
Wow.
I would have thought it would be more automated in today's technological world.
Yeah, that's true, too. Good point.
And more data points. I mean, that seems like such a very small number. But we talk a lot about core inflation, which is everything except food and energy, because those are very volatile.
Yeah, which is always funny to people because they're like, well, hello, right. I use food and energy.
So yeah, these are the two things I really need.
When you go to the grocery store, you're telling me it's 4%, you know, inflation, and I go to the grocery store and the steak is 3 times what it used to be. I don't feel like that's 4%, right?
Right. And to say it's core inflation doesn't include food, like to me, my core inflation includes my food. Absolutely. Exactly. Number one thing on my mind.
Yeah, exactly. So what is not captured by CPI?
Anything that is not a good or service for sale. So we've got free goods. There are goods that are provided by the government. There are some employer provided in-kind gifts, benefits, I'm sorry. And then there's cash gifts to individuals and charities. Life insurance is not counted, although other types of insurance is. Your property and casualty insurance, and mine just almost doubled. I'm sure everybody's feeling that pain right now. And then income tax and other direct taxes. And I think that's a big one because our, you know, our income tax increases are not included in the inflation that we're feeling.
That's a good point. Yeah. And of course, that one always is a nice pinch, right? You're dealing with the taxes and so on and so forth. What other kind of measures of inflation can we, you know, think about or look at?
Yeah, like I said, the CPI for all urban consumers is just one of the numbers. They do have one they call CPI retroactive series, which is used. They go back and adjust previous years to reflect the current methodology. So as they change the methodology over time, then they'll adjust those previous numbers to make it apples to apples over time. They have one that is a chained CPI that's meant to reflect how we actually respond in times of inflation. So when our beef prices go way high, we buy more chicken, that sort of thing. Huh. And the chained CPI adjusts for those buying patterns that are changed over time. But two that I think are very interesting to people that would be listening, the CPIW, that's the Consumer Price Index for urban wage earners and clerical workers. And it covers just a portion of what the CPIU covers. But the CPIW is what's used for your Social Security inflation adjustment.
Oh, okay.
Now, the CPIW covers people that have at least one half of their household income is coming from a clerical or a wage occupation. Mm-hmm. At least one of the earners was employed for 37 weeks during the last 12 months. And it's a subset. It's about 30% of the U.S. population, whereas the CPIU is about 90% of the U.S. population. And so you see it's a much smaller number of people that are playing into what is that COLA adjustment that we get, which is probably why it's not keeping up with inflation over time.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty decent, I guess, last year, right? You know, my mom was kind of excited about it. But I mean, usually over the last number of years, it's not been that great.
Over time, it seems to be, when I look at the research, it seems to be about two-thirds of what real inflation is for retirees.
Mm. Yeah.
Now, they have one that is the CPI dash E for that's supposed to track age 62 plus. And until I did the research for today, I was kind of excited about that. But what I found out is it is just one fifth of the population.
Oh, geez.
And the weights are not based on what people that are 62 and above actually do. They just use the same weights that they use for the CPI, the broad CPI. So to do a true CPI number for retirees, they would need to, in my opinion, really look at what retirees are spending their money on and adjust those weights to reflect that.
Hmm. Yeah. If one fifth, it's so interesting, right? I mean, I guess the reality is they can't survey everybody, right? But at the same time, it's still kind of surprising a little bit. What about PCE? That is another inflation number that does get reported by the media.
It is very similar to CPI, but it's actually created by the Bureau of Economic Analysis. It is that chain type that I talked about where as spending patterns change, it gets reflected in the weights of the measure of the index. And so it's a little bit more accurate as far as what people are actually doing as opposed to some static weights. You know, CPI sets their weights and those change every 24 months. They don't update the weights for 24 months on that basic CPI, whereas the PCE is going to be a lot more as you go. It's going to adjust more quickly because it is a chain type. It also has a little bit different weight as to how much does housing play in, how much does food or energy play in. And that's because the CPI is using a household survey and the PCE is using a business survey. So they're approaching it from two different sides.
Yeah.
But what I found is that the Fed has been using the PCE as their measure to track inflation for their decision making since 2000. They had done some research and analysis. Yeah.
Oh.
And they've been doing that because they find it is more comprehensive coverage of goods and services, and the weights change as people change, and the historical PCE has more room for revision beyond just seasonal factors as they learn things and move, you know, moving through the data over time. And so they are using that as their target. That's really the number to be watching if you're wondering what the Fed's going to be doing.
Yeah, that is interesting, right? I see here on the notes that you'd put together for us that it looks like the most recent number was a 0.4, whereas just a few months ago it was a 0. So I guess that puts pressure on the Fed to wait on those cuts, right?
Absolutely. And that number that I'm pulled out is what they call the super core PCE. Uh-huh. So it's the PCE minus the food, minus energy, minus housing. And that's one that the Fed watches closely. And when it had come down to almost 0 last summer, and then it did actually go to 0 for a number of months, the Fed was talking about, you know, well, we've really done this great job. Look, we've got inflation down to, you know, next to nothing. Even though the top line numbers were still coming in a little bit higher, they were looking at that super core PCE, as they call it, to be reflective of the fact that inflation was really coming down. And that has gone back up. The last number, quite a, you know, jump for, you compare 0.1 to 0.4. Well, that's like 4 months worth of increase, it feels like. So, like you said, it's going to put pressure on them not to raise rates yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, not to cut rates, but to keep rates at the level this higher for longer. They've got that pressure on them for that.
Yeah, and I guess I think we forgot to say PCE stands for personal consumption expenditures. So if you're wondering what
that's
that
good.
Was. All right, so how representative or of real, I guess, inflation are these indices or indexes? Because clearly, again, we walk to the grocery store and we don't feel like they're representative at all.
Right, yeah. And really, this is the key point that caused me to want to look into this. You said on our conversation last time that we were talking, you made a comment about what is really in that. And it seems like it changes from time to time. What is really in the inflation that's causing these rates? We were talking about higher rates and lazy money. And what's interesting is because the CPI is set every 24 months, you know, those numbers can be not at all reflective of the percentages currently. There is a website called Truflation, www.truflation.com. And on that website, they're reporting on all of these data points that they're tracking, 10 million data points in 12 categories. They update it daily, and they get data feeds from over 30 data partners. So Zillow, you know, other ones that you would recognize and you would know who they are, getting these up-to-date feeds of current data. Well, the interesting thing is that in the CPI, shelter in November 2021 was 32.3%, so a third of that number.
Wow.
And in Truflation, it's 23.3%. It's less than a quarter of the number.
Hmm.
You know, and food in the CPI was right at 14%, and in Truflation, it's a little more than 15%. And so it's interesting to look at this website, the Truflation, and say, well, what is going on right now? And they're reporting that inflation right now is 1.99% versus the government reporting 3.2% because of the lag in the data and the way that the government reports it, the way that they even collect data and, you know, much less data points across the country. It's reporting a little bit higher inflation than Truflation says that we have.
Hmm. Very interesting.
Yeah.
So what's the bottom line, right? I mean, if we're thinking about like all of these numbers, that's a lot we're throwing at people here. You know, what should we be looking out for in our own situation?
Well, I think we have to certainly be very aware of how inflation is impacting our financial plan, our retirement plan, and that plan over time, because lower inflation doesn't mean that prices are coming down. And we talked about that before. It just means they're not rising as fast. And so you want to know, what is your personal situation? What are you spending money on? And what is your own inflation rate based on that, based on where you live, based on the things that you want to spend money on? And then look at your plan. Do you need to make any changes to support higher spending? Do you need to adjust your spending? Think about the timing of big purchases, or are there ways that you can save some money on necessary purchases. You know, right now I'm certainly looking for home insurance that might be a little bit less than almost double. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that sort of thing, just trying to minimize the increase in cost in your own situation. But where you can't minimize it, where you need to be spending more, or you're going to be spending more to support that lifestyle that you want to have, then do you need to make any changes to your investments to support that higher level of spending? Do you need to adjust your sources of income? And by looking at it now, it can help you stay on that best path. You know, when you're, if you were thinking of your retirement plan as an airplane and you're getting from point A to point B, as the pilot is flying a plane, they're making shifts depending on the weather, depending on the wind. Well, inflation is one of those things that we make shifts for. Mm-hmm. So that we can stay on that best path and still end up where we want to be, but doing the things that we want to do between now and then.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking course corrections, right? So, I mean, you got to make little course corrections along the way. And for many of us, we just kind of set and forget, you know, inflation. We're just kind of like, it's just a thing. You know, it's just a thing that we all know is there. And we forget about it a lot until it starts biting us in the, you know what, like it has the last couple of years. So it's important to certainly some people have been that way. They've certainly reached out to advisors and said, hey, you know, all this extra spending, what is this doing to my long-term plan? So if you're concerned about that or how it's changing things or how it might change things, make sure, again, that you're talking with a qualified professional like Liz and looking at inflation and how it's calculated within your plan and your strategy. And of course, if you don't have a plan or strategy, that's why it's important to get one. So reach out to Liz and get started on your best path, as she likes to say, because it works well for the name of her company. So reach out to her, bestpathadvisors.com. That's bestpathadvisors.com. Lots of good tools, tips, and resources there. You can check out the podcast. Liz has got videos, webinars on demand, lots of good stuff there. So go check it out at bestpathadvisors.com. And don't forget to subscribe to us on Apple and Spotify and YouTube. Liz, thanks for hanging out and breaking down the complexities of CPI.
Thank you. It's a good conversation as always.
As always, I appreciate your time, and we will see you next time here on Retire on Your Best Path with Liz Winterberry.
The preceding program is sponsored by Best Path Advisors, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA SIPC. Investment advice offered through J.W. Cole Advisors. Best Path Advisors, J.W. Cole Financial, and J.W. Cole Advisors are unaffiliated entities. The opinions expressed by Liz Whitberry should not be construed as specific tax, legal, or investment advice, nor as an offer to buy or sell any securities mentioned herein. Neither J.W. Cole Financial nor its representatives provide legal, tax, or accounting advice. Persons who provide such advice do so in a capacity other than as a registered representative of J.W. Cole. Investing is subject to risks, including the loss of principal. Due to volatility within the markets mentioned, opinions are subject to change without notice. Information is based on sources believed to be reliable, however, their accuracy or completeness cannot be guaranteed.